So next up, we have Donald Harris, who is the Outcomes Research Administrator at the Baptist Health South Florida Center for Research and Grants, where he's responsible for the development and oversight of research at the largest healthcare system in the region. Dr. Harris recently received his PhD in epidemiology, congratulations, from the University of Miami, where his dissertation research focused on sociodemographic and clinical factors associated with the diagnostic stage and initial treatment of prostate cancer.
All right. So my talk today is going to focus on looking at a few factors that I had included in different models in predicting initial treatment selection for prostate cancer. So just to begin, I do not have any relationships to disclose. I'll just go over a little bit about the study, a little bit about prostate cancer, my methods, and then dive into the results and discussions and some future directions that I have for the research that I'm conducting. So prostate cancer is the most commonly diagnosed cancer among U.S. men. In the United States, there, in 2013, about 240,000 cases. In Florida, about 17,000. Florida ranks second in the United States as far as cancer cases go and prostate cancer. And it's the leading cause, as I mentioned, a leading diagnosis of cancer in men. The thing about prostate cancer that makes it interesting is not only are there controversies about screening recommendations, but there's also no clear evidence of favoring one treatment over another for men diagnosed with localized prostate cancer. People have surgery, there's robotic surgery, there's radiation therapy, hormonal therapy, and active surveillance. And 1 in 6 men in their lifetime will be diagnosed with prostate cancer and face a decision of what treatment to select. Patients, when they go through that decision-making process, have a lot of different factors to consider, including the limited evidence regarding one treatment over another, the potential side effects. For example, with surgery, you could have impotence or urinary incontinence, and also recommendations from physician family members or friends, and then economic consequences as well. So there's just a lot of things that go into the decision-making process when you have to factor all the different things in making a selection. So there are different factors that have been shown to be associated with prostate cancer treatment, including the age of diagnosis, different comorbidities that a patient may have, tumor characteristics as far as the aggressiveness of their tumor, race, ethnicity, and also region, your state of residence. So my study is a cross-sectional study. It's using secondary data. I looked at associations between sociodemographic clinical factors and initial treatment selection. So I'm not able to determine causality as far as the reasons why. I can just say that there's an association between two things. In this case, we're looking at socioeconomic status and education level and then initial treatment selection. My study population is the state of Florida residents diagnosed with prostate cancer during the year 2001 to 2009. And the reason why I chose this time period is SEER summary stage for the year 2000 was applied starting going forward in 2001, and that's a way of characterizing the cancer, and that's a standard way, so I wouldn't have to compare different staging from different years. And additionally, I used the year 2000 census data to create area-based socioeconomic measures. So the Cancer Registry data has a lot of data. It's a great resource. It's not used for research purposes. It's for surveillance purposes. So there's information related to marital status, to age, to race. However, education level, income level is not included in Cancer Registry data. When a person gets diagnosed with cancer, it's a mandatory thing to be reported. And information on that patient, including their address, is submitted to the Cancer Registry. In Florida, they then geocode that address to a U.S. Census tract. And I was able to then look at the census tract, which is provided in the data file. No address information is provided, but the census tract information is provided. And I was able to link that to U.S. Census data to get measures of education and poverty. The Florida Cancer Data System is FCDS. And again, from the U.S. Census data, I was able to get education level. And I'll go into how that's broken out. And then measures of SES. I additionally linked the census tract to Department of Agriculture Economic Research Service codes, and that gives a classification on rural or urban based upon your census tract as well. This study was ruled exempt from the Department of Health, Florida Department of Health IRB review because I didn't have individually identifiable information, so it wasn't considered human subjects research. The statistical models used in my analysis included univariate and multivariate regression models. I used a logistic regression both on binary and polytomous outcomes. So, for example, initial treatment has four levels as far as the categories go, so I had to use the polytomous logistic regression model. In other analyses, I stratified by race ethnicity. I won't go into that in this presentation, but I use SAS statistical software to do my analysis, including linking the data sets to the RUCA and the U.S. Census. So my key measures, my outcome measure, my dependent variable was initial treatment, and I had four levels to that: surgery, radiation, hormonal, and watchful waiting. I wasn't able to break out within the different types of treatments. For example, if it was open surgery or if it was robotic surgery. So these are just big buckets that the categories were placed into. And my primary predictors were socioeconomic status. And the way it was broken down, that if the individual lived in the census tract, if that census tract, if the majority of the population was 5% below the poverty level, then they were considered, less than 5% in that census tract lived below the poverty level, they were considered having high socioeconomic status. If you lived in a census tract where more than 20% of the population lived below the poverty level, then you were considered in the lowest category of socioeconomic status. And education level was then broken out by less than high school, and more than high school. So if you lived in a census tract where the majority of the residents in that census tract had a high school degree, then you were categorized, individuals and categorized as having a high school degree. So the full model included, I looked at other variables, age at diagnosis. The prostate cancer is a disease of older age, so about 67 was the mean age for those men who were diagnosed. I looked at race, ethnicity, marital status, insurance status. All these variables I just listed are included in the cancer registry. The urban-rural status was constructed from the codes that I was talking about, and the cancer registry also had the tumor grade. I wasn't able to get the Gleason score or PSA score from cancer registry, and I'll go over that in my limitations section. So looking at the results, I had 85,000 men diagnosed during that time period. So it's a great data set, lots of data, lots of information to look at. The education level, the majority of men had greater than high school education, so that's 13 years or more of education as defined in the U.S. Census data. And as far as socioeconomic status goes, 12% were in the lowest and 29% were in the highest. And this is across the state of Florida. For the looking at initial treatment selection for prostate cancer, the majority, 34%, had surgery, and 32% had radiation. And these are considered definitive treatments as far as you're actually going to do a treatment. Hormonal therapy and watchful waiting are sort of more the passive treatments, and watchful waiting doesn't include any treatment at all. Just active surveillance is another word that's used for watchful waiting as well. So in looking at the results, for those of you who go crazy looking at numbers, I'll walk you through this slide. So this is a odds ratio, and the odds ratio always is you're looking at one group compared to another group. If the odds ratio is one, that means that there's no difference between the groups. So my reference group in this instance is those men who had more than a high school a high school education. So among men who had less than a high school education, they were less likely, because now the odds ratio is less than one, they were less likely to choose surgery or radiation therapy. So there were people who had lower education level were less likely to select a definitive treatment. And that was just looking at the data in the univariate model, which is just looking at education alone and initial treatment selection. When I threw all the different variables that are listed down here at the bottom of the slide into my models, the relationship still remained in that those with less than high school education were still less likely to receive definitive treatment compared to those with more than high school education. In looking at socioeconomic status, this was the same pattern that I saw. Now using high socioeconomic status as a reference group and compared to those with lowest, they're also less likely to receive a definitive treatment as well. And this carried through into the multivariate models as well. So I found that associations existed between initial treatment and lowest socioeconomic status. Those with lowest socioeconomic status compared to the highest were less likely to receive a surgery or radiation. And And you could see this also with low socioeconomic status, but the lowest were more affected if you look at the numbers. Less in high school education was also less likely to select surgery over watch or waiting. And this is one of the things that, you know, people, it's really still poorly understood as far as education level. Again, we mentioned earlier in the beginning of the presentation that there's just a lot of information and misinformation out there, and a lot of confusion about prostate cancer, whether it could be screening or whether it become whether it be the initial treatment and which one works best. So this could relate to health literacy. Again, the study just points to associations. I can't really go into the reasons why. And this will lead me into the future then as far as where I want to go with perhaps including more qualitative type of research to elucidate the factors from men and do focus groups and get, I guess, their opinions about what's going on. Additionally, we don't know what happens in the medical office. We don't know if physicians are not offering all the options or there are other barriers that are there. So some of the limitations, again, this is a cross-sectional study, so I can't look at causality. In using the U.S. Census-derived measures, there's the risk of having the ecological fallacy that basically you apply a group measure to an individual, you could be, you know, overlooking something, and an individual may not follow what happens in their group. But this is typically used with these large data sets, this type of research. I didn't have information on comorbidities, cancer registry. I couldn't look at the other conditions that the men may have had, and this could have affected their treatment selection. Again, disease severity as far as Gleason score is not included in the cancer registry data or PSA levels. And I'm currently testing for interaction between the different variables because socioeconomic status and education are closely related. And I'll also be conducting decomposition regression analysis to look at the different factors in my models, see which ones weigh the most and are the most important as far as in their relation to initial treatment selection. Additionally, I don't have the facility ID, and based upon where you live, could be there could be clustering and how treatments are done, and I wasn't able to get that from the data. The strength of the study is it's the first one for the state of Florida to look at these different factors related to initial treatment selection. The data that from the Florida Cancer Data System is amazing. It's a gold certification, so it has the highest level of certification that's possible. And Florida has a large sample size. We have a large, diverse elderly population, so a lot of rich data in which to conduct research. Future directions, as I was mentioning, I'd like to target decision-making and try to get more information about that, and try to make the data sets that I have to use more robust by linking them to other data sources, for example, linking them to Medicare. From Medicare, I could then look at claims-level data to look at comorbidities or Agency for Healthcare Administration in Florida to get that sort of information. And additionally, in the future, I'd like to see if there's a way of looking at genetic data and quality of life measures. There's evidence out there of genetic links with prostate cancer, especially among African-American men. So I'd like to acknowledge my family and friends and dissertation committee when I was going through all this process of doing the research, and my colleagues at where I used to work at MGen and currently Baptist Health. All right. Thank you very much.